This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is a company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 96 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stufko.
What's up, everyone? We're excited to bring this next guest to the table. He is synonymous in Hollywood with getting the best-looking people in shape.
Yeah, Gunnar Peterson in the house. Gunnar, he has a long list of celebrity clients from the likes of Sylvester Stallone, Tom Brady, Giselle, J-Lo, the Kardashians. The guy's in a really good space. He runs a brilliant gym out of Beverly Hills, and he's going to give some insights into his life and his business.
Yeah, you can catch this guy on TV, man. He's always on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. If you've seen him on these shows, he's also behind Khloe's new movement, Revenge Body. But, you know, he's a personality.
Yeah.
This dude definitely has a lot of, he has a lot of energy. He says what's on his mind. So this interview, it'll be exciting to see how an American, an Aussie, and a Gunnar Peterson get along.
Interesting, because
he's in his own category, man. The dude's been in the game for a while.
It's funny, like, his business is so good, but you know, it will take a skill set to be able to, because he's done it all. So from General Pop,
yeah, Russell Wilson was one of his clients,
to athletes,
a Super Bowl winning quarterback,
yeah, to Tom Brady.
Tom, there you go, man. And then you don't
and
really
then you go, and then you know that headspace of like, because you know, as celebrities, they've got some hectic schedules. So I'm sure that the sacrifices that Gunnar has to make is quite huge. You know,
I think the smart thing that he's done though is that he's created that space so they come to him. Yeah. He doesn't. I'm pretty sure he doesn't travel.
I think he's got to that level now that kind of, what is it, like a reference or a kind of referral. Like, he's known for the guy that can get you into shape for the top movies. And you know, his list of clients just, I think, speaks for itself. Speaks volumes of him as a coach, not just as a trainer. You know how we speak a lot about being more than a coach, more than a trainer, being a coach. And I think that's from what face value already, from just following him, I can already see, and it'd be great just to ask him a few questions about that.
To have clients at that step, not to just have one, like, I'll get stoked if one of my clients is a CEO of a company, but like, this dude, he's trained Stallone for over 10 years. So to have his clientele base now is the niche of famous people who, like you said, want to get in great shape. But he also, I feel, he's located, that gym's out of Beverly Hills, California. So he's found his niche. Mm. He's one of these, they know who to go to. And
he's the go-to now, isn't he?
And results speak for themselves. Think about when you put up a transformation photo of a client, or if I do a video with one of my clients, it gets a lot of, in our little small, tiny, micro circle, it gets a lot of pull. But look what it does when you have that profile and you've done it for so long, as Gunnar Peterson.
Yeah, I agree, man. So let's get Gunnar Peterson on. I'm really stoked to get him on. So here's Gunnar Peterson. All
right, our special guest today is Gunnar Peterson. Gunnar is a highly regarded personal trainer from Los Angeles, California, where he's established himself as one of the leading trainers to athletes, film, and TV celebrities. Over the years, he's trained the likes of Jennifer Lopez, Angelina Jolie, Kim and Khloe Kardashian, Tom Brady, Giselle, Russell Wilson, Pete Sampras, and Sylvester Stallone. He's an editor and regular writer for Muscle and Fitness magazine and a contributor to Clean Eating magazine. Not to be outdone, he's regularly featured in the likes of Allure, Elle, InStyle, InTouch, Men's Health, Women's Health, while his TV appearances has also included The Today Show, Fox and Friends, CNN, The Big Idea, Extra, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We welcome Gunnar Peterson. Gunnar, welcome to the show.
Wow, that didn't sound like you were reading that at all.
No. Oh, Jesus. He free-flowed that one. Yeah, he didn't have notes in front of him or anything. Yeah, I want to start the show with all the stuff Tristan aforementioned. You're a busy guy, I'm sure, setting goals and having visions for this upcoming year. I want to see if you could share some insight on what your 2017 is looking like and what you want to achieve with your personal brand.
Oh, personal brand? We have everything. I like to just keep it going all the time. I mean, I'm in the gym every day. I still see 6, 7, 8, 9 people every day. 9's a stretch, but if you have to get through, you have to get through it. Mm. We have a couple TV projects working. We have a gym design business. And, there's the possibility I move my gym to a bigger space. So it's a big undertaking. It's a big project. But my parents taught me the projects keep you young. So I have to go with it. If it comes up, I'm going to go with it.
Gunnar, and how big is your company? Like, how many people do you have working for your enterprise?
Oh, come on, man. I keep it skin and bones here. I'm here. Kaylee runs the gym.
So you're doing everything. The reason why I ask is
the trainers. I do all my own scheduling. I have a manager who makes sure I don't get in trouble, and my wife handles a lot of the gym design business.
Wow, so you have a lot on your plate. And one of the things is we mentioned off air before we started going live was this: how are you able to control what to take on and what to say no to in terms of projects?
Yeah. First of all, we go with passion. If it feels right and it's something you're interested in, I go for it. The other thing is it going to generate anything good outside of just here? Is it a way to get a message out? Is it a way to do something like that? Third of all would be, is it possible to create an ancillary revenue stream, which would tell you that I'm not a good businessman because most people would put that first. I still put stuff on Instagram because I find it fun or funny or informational. I don't think – I'm not pushing any products. I just that's just not me. It doesn't make me better or worse. It just means that's not how I'm wired. So we go with the passion, and we go with stuff that can turn into other fun things and get a message out to more people than we could just do out of our, one little corner of the fitness world.
Yeah. Gunnar, take us back to the origins. Take us back, because you've got over 20 years in the game. You've coached the biggest and the best. Take us back to the start and why you got into the industry.
I was a fat kid, if you want to go that far back, and my mom had me in Weight Watchers when I was 10 years old. Meetings and stuff like that, which was kind of weird, but she was trying to help. It all came from a good place, and ultimately it probably was helpful in that I was at least aware. I didn't, a lot of people out here don't tell the kid they're fat. I mean, I was fat, I knew it, and my mom didn't say no, you're not. She said, well, if you want to do something about it, let's do it, and if you don't, then quit bitching about it. So that started, and then I got into where I did a lot of sports, but still I was like the fat kid doing sports. And I was in boarding school in Switzerland growing up, and then I came back and I went to college. I went to Duke University in North Carolina. Yep. And I got into working out, but I didn't have the nutrition thing at all handled. Still, it was essentially college food and college drinking and, that kind of lifestyle. So it's hard to out-train that, as you know. And then after college, I got more serious about nutrition, and I learned more, and I applied it to myself. And then I was working out with people, and I would always seek to play up. I would always try to work out with the person who was in better shape or looked like they knew more. And I just devoured everything I could in that industry. I mean, if you saw my office here, it's books and articles and papers and. I'm a self-admitted hoarder, and I keep it all here. I got an article right here. My mom sent me. It's called The History of exercise from the Wall Street Journal. And she goes,
there you go.
I'm sure your journal subscription's expired. So if there's something you can use in this, and I mean, I'll read that. I got it yesterday. I'll read that. So, and then a guy asked me once if I could work with him and how much I charged. And I thought, that's funny. I can get paid for that. And I just shifted and it took about 2 weeks training one, two people, three people. And I realized I was making more money there than I was at a regular job. And I just started doing it. Never looked back.
So this was something that happened pretty quick in your career coaching, the mindset of actually owning that you could do this as a career, because it took me about a year to kind of like believe in myself. Like, hold on, I have something that people want, a service, and I can make this a career. Was that a vision of yours leaving Duke, or was it?
No,
was it?
Not at all. I had visions of palm trees and sunny weather and good times. And you know, I'm an adult. I don't have any responsibilities. I'm in my 20s. This is what I should be doing, and I headed for the coast. And then I got here, and then there's the reality, well, you have to have a job, you have to earn income. So I got a job, and then I thought, well, I see the palm trees, I see the sun, but I'm trapped inside. This is not working out very well. And I took any moment I could to be outside doing stuff or working out or sports, whatever I could. And then when that came up, no, it was about 2 weeks. It was about 2 weeks because I had that guy, and then his friend started, and then then somebody else asked me for after work. So I was seeing 2 in the morning. Two people before work, all day work, and then one more person. And then it took me 2 weeks to add up how much I was making, and it was more than I was getting in a job. And I go, this is insane. I'm working 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is, 9 hours, and I'm making more than I'm making at 40 hours at a job. I'm out of here.
Yeah. What type of equipment were you using back then?
Whatever the gym had. Oh, so I was out of a gym. It's sort of a cat and mouse thing because I wasn't certified to be in that gym. And that's where that guy trained. So yeah. I had to do a little dance around the guys who had the personal trainer shirts on. And, you know.
You're one of those guys.
So what was the next step after?
No, I'm not. He's my friend. It was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But what was the next step after that? You joined a big box gym or?
No, a chiropractor, a friend of mine, a guy who I went to for myself, said, hey, how's your training stuff going? And I said, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's a new life. And he said, I have a lady who'd like to work in her home. Can you go there? I was like, sure. And then I was driving, and then I took on a few people in home, and I did that for a couple of years. And I thought I was becoming weird because I was driving just to all these homes all over. If you've ever been out here, it's pretty spread out. Yeah. And I'm just driving all around the land. And one day I was humming the news jingle to an AM radio news station, and I had a full moment of self-awareness, and I thought, I have my cooler with my protein shake and chicken breast and yam and water, and I'm humming the news jingle, and I'm becoming a weird dude on my own. I gotta be around people. And so I started looking at all the private gyms around. I walked in, and I had a resume that I had written up, and I said, hey, this is what I'd like to do. And you know, some of the guys were like, what's this, a resume? And eventually one guy said, if you want to train here, you're welcome to. And I locked down there for 8 years.
You mentioned you brought up the Wall Street Journal article. It had me thinking, where you are in your career and all the things that you've accomplished, do you still upskill? Are you still a type of guy to want to continuously learn? And who are you learning from? Who are you learning from?
Everybody. Sources I would never have thought, or you would never have thought. I mean, I trained with another trainer named Brad Siskin, BST Workout, and we shoot each other Instagram things back and forth sometimes. And we should try this. Did you read this? Did you hear this? And we're just, you know, just firing them off. Maybe one a night, maybe one every 2 nights, maybe 5 in 1 night. And then we'll incorporate that into our own workouts. And then we'll, over time, break that off into client workouts. I go to seminars anytime I can find something that's interesting that's out there. I read. I mean, I really wish I'd turn this thing around. You should see the books. It's just, it's true. It's true. Like Nutty Professor.
Oh my God!
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys listening at home, Gunnar just showed us a handful of reading material.
Oh, tons. And even if each one of those only has one article, it's just like 2 weeks ago. I went to the LA Fit Expo here in town. which is packed with everybody who's ever done a push-up, and it's a lot of guys, you know, with invisible lat syndrome looking for free supplements, and I've seen it, but somebody said, why would you even go to that show? I said, because if I can pick up one thing, if I can pick up one new handle, if I can see one new piece of cardio or one new training protocol or anything, yeah, I come back better for my clients. And if I do that 10 times a year, that's 10 new things a year. That's 30 new things in 3 years. That's a lot more than a lot of trainers.
Yeah. Over the last 6 months, is there anything you can share with us that you've kind of learnt or introduced into your client training that you found really, really valuable?
A couple of things we've been using. We've been using a lot of the CMBs, the center mass bells from Sorinex. If you've ever seen those, if you know what they are?
No, we haven't seen them before.
It's a circular weight, and your hand goes in. It's kind of Iron Man looking. And so is it better than a dumbbell? It's different than a dumbbell.
Yeah.
So the weight is evenly distributed around your hand.
Mm.
And it's fun. It's a fun movement for people, even working with them on simple things like cleans or a snatch. With that, it just feels different. It moves differently. It's attached to their body. It feels like it's attached to their body versus a dumbbell. It's just different. We've been using a lot of the steel clubs from Onnit. If you know those guys, they make tourism equipment.
They sponsor our show.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they're one of our sponsors.
Great people, great company. As are the people at Sorinex. Bert Soren is a friend of mine. I know Aubrey from Onnit. They make such great quality stuff that it's nice. Every time we just had some more of their Captain America plates arrive in the gym, people go, why'd you get more weight? Because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
You want to create that environment, don't you?
The steel clubs, that's great. Great stuff you can do with those steel clubs. Interesting work, rotation, where you grip the club differently, choppy, eccentric forces. A lot of cool things you can do with that.
Yeah, the shoulder mobility stuff. Those clubs. Aubrey loves doing those primal movements, those warrior-esque sort of things. Have you been down to the Onnit Training Academy in Austin?
No, man. I have a lot of kids and dogs and clients. It's just hard to get out of here. If I do, if I leave, it's usually because it's a vacation for my kids' school or something. But I would like to go, and I've looked at some of their seminar schedules, and hopefully we'll get...
What's up, guys? Be sure to pick up your free copy of Conversations with Champions. This is our free ebook, which is comprised of inspirational quotes from past guests that we've had on the show.
Get inspirational quotes from champions such as Evander Holyfield, Jonathan Thurston, Grant Cardone, Gary Vee, Larry Holmes, Mario Andretti, Anthony Mundine, Joe DeFranco, and many, many more.
To pick up your free copy now, just simply go to our website, www.divisionboardpodcast.com/ebook. Put your name and email in the slot. It takes about 10 seconds, and we'll send you the book directly to your inbox. Now back to the show.
Get there, we'll see.
Yeah, Gunnar, one thing that I find like super, it sticks out to me about you and how you run your business and where you are, is how how people invest in you. So we work with a lot of young coaches, and I feel the space in the fitness industry in Australia, the certifications, they're not quite, like, you need a Cert 3 and 4, but it's not any extensive education background to be coaching one-on-ones in a private setting. And I feel with that, the person-to-person mindset value gets lost a little bit. No one's really teaching connection and building bonds and networking and this sort of thing. Is this something that's evolved with your business? And what is it about you that you feel, if you had to answer from an outsider's perspective, that you have that so many people want to invest in you?
I have great parking. And in LA, that's just key. I don't know if they want to invest in you. I think you have to look, what they're doing in here is work. It's hard work. It's arduous. It's physically unpleasant. So instead of just bearing down on that aspect of it, I try to make it fun. And I had a kid once, I said to him, I watched him training this lady in here, and he was grinding her with the work, and he was burying her in textbook talk. Mm. And I said to him, and I watched her, you know, her eyes like this, glazed over, and you lost her, dude. You dynamic warm-upped her to death. She almost passed out. Not even because it was hard, because she was bored into a coma. And I said, dude, you got to make it fun for her. She's coming here. She's spending money. She's driving from her home. You have to make it fun. And he snapped at me, and he goes, not everybody's a stand-up comic. I go, then take a class. Take a class in stand-up comedy. There are classes right here. You learn about jokes, about segue, setup, punch, callback. There's so many ways. it's conversational. You have to learn how to have a conversation. It's like running. Just because you're a biped doesn't mean you know how to run. Just because you're doing what you call running, that doesn't mean you have good running mechanics. Running is, as you guys know, running is a skill. It's a learned skill. So you can tell me you run, but I'm looking at you going, it's just like some kind of aborted falling walk thing. I don't even know what it is. Having those conversations, learning to tap into your personality, your strengths, listening is key. You got to do that, I think, when you're this close to someone for 60 minutes and they're dressed in less than, you know, half their family members have seen them in the last 2 years. That's a very vulnerable second. You have to be respectful of that. You have to make them feel at ease. You have to, as the host, because you are the host, you have to make your guest feel comfortable. And you're branding yourself every single day. You're branding yourself by shaving, not shaving, by wearing a hat, not wearing a hat, by shorts, by long pants, by, you know, are your hands clean? What does your gym smell like? What's the temperature like? What's the music? How is it, this volume? All those things color the person's experience. I use restaurant analogies all the time with people. You know, it's not just the food. I assume the food's good. I assume the training's good. Someone's invested in you to open a restaurant. Of course the food's good. Now, what's my overall experience? How was I greeted? Did the bartender remember my name? Did they even remember my drink? Because I was here last week. You know, little things go a long way when you're doing one-on-one service providing, I think.
Did you ever have a mentor? That just sounds like a really interesting kind of experience. Obviously, you've been in the game for a long, long time. Did someone show you the ropes as you are showing people the ropes now?
No, it was different. I think I saw more of what I wouldn't want.
Yeah.
More of what, and I think because the industry still, to some degree, is in its infancy. You know, it's not like hotels. This hasn't been around for hundreds of years. People don't, I think, always know what to expect. And anything works for a little bit, you know, but over time, hotel analogy would be there's the low rent hourly motels. I'm not saying you guys have ever been to those, but I'm sure you've seen them. And then there's the middle road. There's the chains that are nice and good and family oriented. And then there's the top tier, you know, Four Seasons Peninsula type hotels. All three business models work. You can make a living at all three. What kind of clientele are you trying to attract? And what kind of service do you want to provide? How far do you want to go? I know what I want to be. I know what my geography leans towards, and I know the kind of people I want to attract. So it's an easy one for me. Other people, sometimes I think they get caught in the middle, or they're trying to attract the people from the Four Seasons Peninsula, but they're using the approach of the middle of the road. That may work in the beginning, but over time, those people are not going to stay because they're going to go towards their own. You know what I mean? And I saw so much of people spending their hard-earned, limited or very unlimited disposable income, and they were not getting what I think they should have gotten. And I thought, oh, I could do better than that.
Yeah, you brought up a little bit ago about the LA Fit Expo, and From where you've seen the industry, fitness industry, start from when you got in, where it's evolved to now, what you saw at the Fit Expo, it's a constantly evolving industry. Things are always changing. Where do you see it in the next 5 years? Do you look at it that way? Do you feel that you have to be above the curve to continue to impact people? Or is it something that you have a philosophy and you just stick to it in terms of training people?
No. The philosophy is constantly changing. Not that you're ever running away from your core competency. I mean, the body only does certain movements, and then how you load it, where the load kicks in, that all can change and be tweaked and played with. But I'm always open to new ways of doing it. I'm always, we just got a few months ago the blood flow, the BF, the blood flow restriction. If you guys know about that, it's way past old school bodybuilding tourniquet training. It's the B-Strong system is what it is. And you put a cuff on and you inflate it, and you're essentially limiting blood flow to the appendages during training. And it's about time under tension, and then you release it, and it just flushes. And obviously from a pump standpoint, it's sick, but from a washing, you know, pushing lactic acid out. That's helpful in that way. And from a way to vary your training, I don't have to load super heavy to get that same feeling. So it's easier on my joints. And I have a lot of guys who, a lot of people who train with me train 5 and 6 days a week. So it's hard. I can't just bury these guys every day, especially, you know, if it's women who are focusing on, you know, glutes, ab, triceps. Obviously, we're working the whole, the body as a whole. We're not training just muscle groups like that, but I can't crush specific body parts. They have to recover. And so this is a way to help them on a, it's a less intense way of getting a similar effect. So I'm always looking for new stuff is the short answer.
What's your opinion on, we've had, you know, we've interviewed some really high-level strength and conditioning coaches, Joe DeFranco, Charles Poliquin, and a common denominator that we keep being taught and brought up is, for any strength program, having the background, the backbone of, like, the power lifts, the basic deadlifting, squatting, pressing. Do you use these with all of your clients? Do you use them with any of your clients?
All of them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All of them. But, you know, it may be a barbell deadlift. It may be a dumbbell deadlift. Okay. It may be a kettlebell deadlift. It may be a cable deadlift. It may be a deficit deadlift. It may be, and there's so many ways we play with it. Same with the squat. It may be an axial load. It may be putting you on a quad mill or a rev where the machine is actually dropping out. So there's an emphasis on the eccentric, but there's no load on the spine. There's no axial load. So, okay, that's an interesting way to do that. I didn't know I could do that. Well, you can. You just squatted. You just did the equivalent of 15 squats. Wow, that's unbelievable. So, yeah, we're always big on that. And the pressing, whether you're talking about bench press or you're regressing that to a push-up, or for some people you're progressing that to a push-up, we do all that stuff. I had a guy today using the Sorinex center mass bells, doing a floor press, a single arm floor press. And he was, because he has a little bit of shoulder. I don't know if it's a impingement, I'm not 100% on what it is. He hasn't had it looked at by a pro yet. But I tell him when mine flares up, I can still get these floor presses and really isolate. And I'm feeling what I want to feel on it. And I played with his leg position a little bit. And he goes, I feel this all through my core. I said, yeah, that's why we're on this. So, you know, this is a guy who's in his mid-60s, terrific athlete, race car driver, everything. And to find something like that, which is a derivative of the basics, that still affected him. He trains 6 days a week with me. That's fun. That's fun to be able to tap into that and give him something that he thought maybe was long gone.
Yeah. Gunnar, can you give us a bit of insight into how you schedule your day? Because before you came on, you said to us that you start your day around 5 a.m. in the morning. I was just really interested in terms of you coaching general pop and then you guys coaching athletes and also celebrities. How do you have blocks in the day for each different types? Because I know there's different, for example, a TV star might be only have 2 a.m. in the morning or something like that. How does that work?
I think the hardest part of working with the people who populate our area is the scheduling. Their schedules, they're the, you know, people go, oh, it'd be so easy to be a movie star or a celeb or an athlete. You just go to practice and you're done for the day. Well, they have about 300 other things pulling at them for time and for, you know, their attention and phone calls, and they're pretty slammed. So I get up at 3:45 and I'm here by 4:30, 4:40. I usually do my own workout first, except I have a guy on a TV show who trains 4:30 or 5, 2 to 3 times a week. So that means the line gets pushed back. And then we start with people at 7. And I usually go 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, sometimes 12. And then there's a little break. And that's food and phone calls, and then a 3 and a 4, sometimes a 3 and a 4 and a 5.
Do you generally?
That's the hard day.
Is that like so you're doing hour blocks with your clients? Is that how you schedule it?
Hour blocks, back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
The breaks kill me. When somebody cancels or is late, it's brutal for me.
It's emotional, isn't it?
Sweet, I got a free hour. I go, oh, power down.
Yeah. Starting and stopping.
It's tough to come back up for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Breaking momentum. It's like having to turn that back on. It's pretty difficult. Yep. Gunners, one of the little side projects that Tris and I are working on behind the scenes, we interview, if we had to like compartmentalize each of our guests, we could put them in a fighter category, a writer, a coach, a CEO, that sort of thing.
When you're an asshole category? Did you open that category? I'd like to inaugurate that. Would that be okay today?
Gunner Peterson,
go for it, my man.
The asshole category. That's hilarious.
Thank you.
But when so
I just want to be the first one who says it. If I say it, it's okay. Somebody else is like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, right? You had to clear the air. But when we're speaking mindset and mental framework, are you able to see a difference with your clients when you compartmentalize them from TV star to athlete to general pop? Or do you see like there is no difference? That's just their label of what they do.
Well, when they come in, to me, you're taking them as everybody's an athlete on some level. And then over the course of workout number one, two, or three, somewhere in there, sometimes it's very early. Sometimes it flushes itself out a little later. You realize that while, yes, they're still athletes, some of them are pros, and some of them are forever rookies. And you go, okay, I have to now work on those to bring them up. But I try to have everybody do as many different movements over the course of the training, not in one workout, but to work the body in all three planes of motion, to train the body as a whole, to make sure that they don't mistake, you know, their abs for their core. It's a big difference. You got to work the whole core all the way around. We do a lot of hyperextensions. We do a lot of supermans. We do a lot of deadlifts, as we said. So you try to train them like athletes. You show them that, you know, explosion is key. Transferring weight is key. Things that will apply to sports, different things in their own life that they may not even know they do. And that can be the stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad who handles the kids, or the guy who has to take his dog out late at night and it's a 130-pound dog and he's home from work and he's tired and the dog takes off and, you know, he wants to be – I tell him, you got to be strong enough to handle that. If you have a big dog and that dog gets away, that's an easy way to pull something or to strain something. So we train for little simple things like that. At the end of the day, though, and I'll go out on a limb, and maybe those other coaches wouldn't say this. In my experience, if you get people in an honest, genuine moment, they want to look better. I mean, there are the different ends of that spectrum. The athletes, in my experience only, I'm not speaking for everybody else, the athletes want performance and will sacrifice aesthetics for performance, the true athletes. Then there are those who just want to be healthy and literally they're training not to die. They're just trying to stay alive and get healthy. But other than those two ends, on the rest of that continuum, the people that I work with, they want to look better. They want to feel good about their body. They want to look attractive. So that's a lot of that is what we play.
Guys, we hope you're enjoying the episode with Gunnar Peterson. Be sure to check out our other episodes with the likes of Rich Roll, Sean Stevenson, Joe DeFranco, Charles Poliquin, John Berardi, and many, many more. Also, remember to subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review. Now back to the show.
So do you feel that there's a difference with the people who want to look better with the people who want to feel better, or is there a connection with the two? Because I find that if we attach a look to like our results, we're all getting older. We're all going to decay. But if we could feel great about ourselves and attach ourselves to that feeling, I think that is that what you're talking about in the people who want to...
I think the two are interconnected. Okay. I know some people that would rather feel like they're just about to faint at any given moment as long as they look shredded. Wow. They'll take that. That's not for me. Mm. I like to feel solid and capable is the word I would use. Mm. Other people, at the end of the day, though, if you say, would you rather feel a little bit tired but look great, or would you rather feel fully refreshed and have a spare tire around your body, they'll take the former. That's what I see here. And you can say LA is shallow, LA is whatever, but it's a mirror to the world.
Yeah.
What's that process like when a new client comes to you, Gunnar? What's the sort of screener that you take them through? Do you do a lot of sit down and chat first, or is a lot of just in gym and testing what sort of they can and can't do?
So hard to improve the body sitting down and chatting. I just was talking to these guys in here. I don't do a ton of assessments. I mean, we look and I don't do that. I get them moving right away. I want to see how you move. I want to hear you speak when you're under a little bit of duress, because I think I'm going to get an honest answer from you. I think I think you're more open, you're more vulnerable, the trust, we start to trusting, and then I say, you know, how's your food? And you may say, if you're sitting in my office and having that conversation, well, you know, I do 3 meals, 2 snacks, I go heavy protein, I stay away from high complex carbohydrates, and then out here we're talking, and you're like, well, last night I had macaroni and cheese because the kids had it. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, what about the carbohydrate? Wait a minute. And I just get more honesty out there, and they get more done in that time. They're actually burning calories out here. They're actually working. That's time where it's spent sitting in here that they wouldn't have gotten the beginning of the, whether it's the endorphins or just the overall feeling, oh, I've done something. I'd rather put that to use out there. Don't get me wrong. We're not dangerous. We don't just have you step out and start deadlifting. But we move you through some stuff, and they feel better straight away. I mean, right away.
Yeah.
Circulation is king. Moving the blood is everything.
Do you prefer someone that is a long-term client in terms of when they step through the door, is there an expectation that they're going to be here for a long period of time? Like, you know, I know back in Australia, there's a lot of 12-week transformations, which I don't really like because I don't feel that you can change enough in 12 weeks to get the habit for an entire lifetime. So what's your opinion on that when they first step through the door in terms of expectation on how long they can stay?
I have no expectation. And sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised, and sometimes I'm not surprised at all because I had no expectation. When they say they're going to come and they're going to train for a movie and they're going to do this, and sometimes they train right up until that movie and then you literally never see them again.
Yeah.
Sometimes they train for half of that and then they go because they're going to do rehearsals in that city for a week and then they're going to come back for a week, but they'll definitely be back and then they're never back and then they're done. Sometimes they do the movie and then they come back for the next movie and they come back for the next movie. Sometimes they do the movie, they come back and they stay with you for years. So personally, I prefer when they stay for a long time. You don't have to do the whole, you're never marketing. I'm never selling fitness to anybody anyway. I mean, if you want this, you're here. I don't motivate you. You motivated yourself. All I do is provide a product that's consistent, that's something you can rely on in a town that is can otherwise be fairly transient. So I'm here. I'm here all day. I don't leave for lunch. I don't take meetings out of here. I do everything here. So you always know I'm here. And I like to be that constant in your life.
Yeah.
I've had people through multiple marriages, multiple movies, multiple teams, and I'm the one guy right there all the time. I like that. That's way more fulfilling to me than seeing someone for 2 months or 2 weeks or, you know, before prom or before a reunion. That's fine. But I love the ones that have been with me for 17 years, 16 years, 12 years. I love that.
Yeah, it's that, you know, building bonds. Yeah. And I think it's a big point. A lot of our listeners are young coaches. Tristan and myself, like we mentioned, you know, our clients listen to the show. And when I tweeted and put on Insta that I was going to be interviewing you, I was getting a lot of questions. But I'm going to ask you one, and it's for my business. And so I got a new client about 4 days ago. 27-year-old guy, never lifted a weight. It's the first time I've had to deal with this specific, his case, his goals. Never lifted a weight. He saw a transformation photo on my page. Called me. I'm starting to train him. Starting from that scratch, if you had this kid at 27, never played sports, 5'8", 140 pounds, muscle tone, not there because he's never trained, how long would it take? Would you put him right away, like teaching resistance? Would you guide him through body weight training? Would you do functional training? What would you do with this guy and for how long before you put him in that weight room?
Oh, he'd be in the weight room day one.
Day one.
But sure. Yeah, but because I'll tell you why. Because, and this is not a shady side. This is just a how can I hook him? You know, not in a shady way, but how? Let me rephrase it. How can I get him hooked on exercise?
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
So, and this was another thing that I had with the other kid I mentioned. I'm not a stand-up comic.
Take a class. That's awesome.
Yeah, so take a class. You cannot drive. There's LA Comedy School down here. There's the improv here. There's a comedy server. You can literally take. I took one.
Do you like stand up?
Yeah, there's. I took a stand up comedy class because somebody said to me, "That's the hardest thing in the world to do." Is stand up comedy. And I thought, well, I know some guys in the military who would probably disagree with that, but okay, how hard can it be? So I went and I took a class. I wanted to see what it was.
Yeah, one of my good friends. I grew up in Youngstown, Ohio. One of my childhood friends is 10 years in the game at the Comedy Store, and all of his hard work is slowly paying off as a stand-up.
Yeah, so I love it, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So you got to give the guy credit and take a class. It will serve you. It will serve you in your dating life. It will serve you in your marriage. It will serve you in your parenting. It will serve you as a trainer. I'm not, pushing anybody to a comedy store, but read about how to build a joke, how to carry a conversation. I don't know. I find that stuff interesting.
Yeah. We are on display. We're on a platform.
Sure. And they are judging.
Yeah.
They are judging. So for your young guy, here's what I think. Obviously, there had to be some trepidation with him coming to a gym anyway, calling you anyway. You know, his finger was like this when he was dialing. So you got to go. If you have him in there and you seclude him, right, if he's in quarantine and he's only in the body weight area and he's on like a rubber mat, like he's some institutionalized guy who's going to hurt himself, he feels singled out yet again. You've perpetuated that feeling of, I don't fit in. I'm not in the game yet. I bring him right in. Now, we're not going to go max bench, but we're going to get on this machine and this machine and this machine. So he goes, I'm capable of this, A, and B, I'm allowed to do this. Yeah, man, this is for everybody. This is fitness for everybody. And you're also giving him, that's that teacher man to fish thing. If he only goes to you for 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 months, and then he goes off on his own, he will have a take-home skill that he can apply in his apartment gym, in a hotel gym. He's got some. You gave him something to work with. I would still school him in the body weight stuff. I might even have him go bench press. Now here's a push-up. Notice the difference. Body weight squat. Let's see how you do with a dowel or just against the wall. And now let's show how you feel with a bar on your back. Whoa, that's too much. Hang on, back off. I don't know. Okay. Play with everything. They're all just tools.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, just want to hear your perspective. It was just one of these rare, we get people from all different levels. So like pro athlete here, but a mother wants to lose weight. So it's good to hear that feedback. I appreciate it.
Gunnar, talk to us a little bit about your training. I'm really interested to find out some of the stuff that you're doing, some of the goals that you've got ahead for yourself, and how your own training's evolved over the years.
I do everything. We do steady state cardio. Some of it's for fat burning. Some of it's just for camaraderie. You know, it's just the hang with my friend Brad. And you're talking about life. It's in a way, it's your own therapy.
Yeah.
We put some sprint intervals in it. I ride a bike most of the days. It's my go-to. It's no impact. I like it. I'm out of the saddle. I'm in the saddle. And then the strength work is anything functional you can imagine. There's transverse plane stuff against pneumatic cables, against bands. There's sled pushing. There's rope work. There are deadlifts. There are squats. Their push-ups, their pull-ups, their snatches, their cleans, any kind of different strange, odd-shaped pull-down handle we could find, any kind of sequencing of a squat to a wall sit or the blood flow restriction stuff with, trade-off curls. I go 30 reps, you go 30 reps, I go 30, like that kind of stuff, just to see what it does. And also you can speak to it with a certain amount of authority when you're suggesting politely to a client, here's what we're going to do. Then what does this do? Well, here's what it does. Here's what your arms will feel like. Here's what this will feel like. On your fifth rep on the squat, relax your toes. You scrunched up a little bit. How'd you know I was scrunched up? Because I squat also. Ah, okay. So you're not just the voice of authority, but you're the voice of experience. And I think that's important. Not that you can't be an out of shape trainer, but to me, it's a much harder sell.
Well, it's your postcard, isn't it? So, it's what you've got in front of you. If you're not in shape yourself, how can you sell that to someone else?
Well, I have a nutritionist who's a great friend of mine, and he's, in my world, in my mind, the guy's a genius, Dr. Philip Golia. He was a pro bodybuilder back in the day. He competed all the way up, even into the Olympia. He's heavier now. Like, when I call his office, I go, "May I please speak to the world's fattest nutritionist?" And they're like, hang on a second. Phone's for you, Doc. But, like he says, I've been there. Last year he had 4 surgeries. He's raising his kids. His focus right now is all on client family business. Yeah. And he acknowledges that. So people go, how can you listen to him? Look at, he's fat. And I go, look at the poster on his wall. The guy's, 295 pounds, 3% body fat. I listen to that. That's when he speaks. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
So, it's like the batting coach. He doesn't have to be able to hit the ball. He just has to tell you why you're not hitting it. To me, that's where those guys are. For me, as the trainer, walking you through the movements saying, here's what the pull-up looks like, and then you're looking over, you got that, so you're going to come up, keep your chest high, I want you to think about collarbone to the bar, and they're like, you're just hanging up there. I go, we had to show you, and you come down. That's a big selling point, I believe.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like we were talking to Steve Maxwell, the gentleman who lives out of his backpack doing jiu-jitsu. He's in his mid-60s now, and I asked him about, you know, guys that he maybe will learn from, and he was adamant about not learning from. He's like, why would I learn from a 30-year-old nutritionist? That 30-year-old hasn't been to the other side before. So his framework was similar in the sense of, I disagree.
You can learn from anybody.
I agree with you on that. I think his point, you know, the point of him was saying though, like the experience aspect in terms of like.
For sure, but that 30-year-old has had experiences in his last 30 years that you didn't have. He's been somewhere else. He did something else. You know,
it's different areas.
I didn't watch the classic movies growing up. I was in boarding school in Switzerland. I was learning French. I was learning Spanish. It doesn't make me better. It just means when they make references in the Oscars to such and such a classic, I kind of go, I never saw that.
Yeah.
But go to the restaurant, I can read the menu if it's in French. So we all have our skills. We all have our experiences. To me, it's way easier to embrace them and learn and grow that way than it is to say, I'm not learning anything from him.
Yeah.
Of course you can.
Right on.
Steve.
Yeah, right. Speaking of, so we talk about invisible tool belts. So traits that we carry around on a daily basis, like yourself, you speak the Spanish, French, you could pull that out in conversation and impress somebody. Are there any other of these characteristic traits that you have that keep allowing you to evolve that not many people know about?
I'm a very hands-on dad. I'm hands-on with that. I've had people leave their kids with me, you know, or bring their kids here, and I'll go to them, and there's having the experience with my own kids, I think they know I'm a real, like, I'm the change the diapers, take the kid for the walk, I'll do all that stuff. I'm not the just weekend guy. So that's a different side. Because when it's in here, I mean, you'll hear some words in here that you wouldn't say around babies. But then you can also flip it and you're that dad. That's, to me, that shows a versatility. That shows that you have more dimensions than they might have first thought.
Hmm. All right. Gunnar, I'm a big Sly Stallone fan, so I've got to know, how did you meet Sly, and what did you help him on?
I met him, someone brought him to my gym years and years ago, and it was after Copland, maybe? And he hadn't been working out.
He was big in that too, wasn't he? Yeah.
And he wasn't in bad shape. He wasn't the way you see him, the way your mind brings up that picture right away. But he hadn't worked out in a while, and he wanted to get back into it. And we started training. He trained with me for 16 years. I haven't seen him in about a year.
Wow.
We trained for 16 years.
Probably come see you for Rocky 8,
this
maybe.
This dude loves Stallone. I think everybody loves Sly. But we can't get through one episode without a Sly reference. So that should be a drinking game. This dude loves
Yeah. But, I mean, he's also, I mean, without question, he's the most overall – the most thoroughly entertaining person I've ever met.
Really?
He's brilliant. He's a wordsmith. He's funny as hell. And for whatever reason, the world doesn't seem to buy him in comedies, but I can tell you this, on a one-on-one, the guy is as funny as any stand-up I've ever met. Mm. He's incredibly creative, and he's smart. And I love being around. That's why I picked that hotel a model to go after, because I like those people. I like the high achievers. I like the people who push the envelope. I just read a thing that Dwayne Johnson said today. The people that do that are the people who make a dent in the universe. I like being around those people.
Yeah.
Well, I guess surrounding yourself with good people makes yourself also advance as well. So I think it's a great point by yourself and by The Rock.
There are other people who surround themselves with people who don't have and don't do, and they're not that they are less than, but their lives are less than, and they try to pull them up. I've done that.
Yeah.
It's not where my passion is. I like just absorbing from these people. I go, how did this guy, Ryan Seacrest, how did this guy go from mowing lawns in Atlanta in his mind going, Dick Clark, I see his, and he's the definition of a mogul out here. I mean, he does everything. Radio, television, New Year's Eve, he does so many things, producing.
Yeah.
He's all over. And he, you know, he trained with me for 3 years, and hearing the stuff that he just thought, I can do this, and he put his mind to it. That's phenomenal.
But it's also great in that, like, for example, we're sharing some space with you, and, you know, how I introduced you in, people can just assume it was an overnight success or something like that. But from our conversation, you know, it's just so much more. I'm sure that this is what you found out with Ryan as well, that for all that he did, there was also that backstory of all that hard work. So I think that's the great thing. That's why I love sharing stories like yourself and like you've just shared with Ryan, is to get that backstory and to show that there is a lot of hard work that it takes to get all the way through.
Every person I've worked with out here who's at the top of the food chain, whether it's the athletic food chain, the entertainment food chain, the music industry food chain, they all, the common denominator is that they all work very hard. And I think that that's lost on the public a lot. I think people don't get that. I think they think, oh, they got lucky, they did this.
Yeah.
You know, they got discovered on this show. You're like, do you know what it took for them to get to that show?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea? I mean, The Rock's, you know, his, Dwayne Johnson's company is called $7 Productions. That's what he was down to. Stallone was eating dog food, and he hurt his neck. It was actually fractured. He was walking around, like, holding his own head up like this, going in to try to have meetings, and he was writing. And those stories, to me, that's not just folklore. That's like those guys live through that, and they come out on the other side because they kept pushing.
Working hard. We were interviewing Evander Holyfield, and he really, really surprised me on his spirit. He's just a mama's boy, and the one thing that he kept saying was, he said that my mom always, and he said it in this southern accent, he said, my mama always said, son, if you outwork everybody 99% of the time, you'll win. And that's a point that really stuck with me, because it's true. It's the one thing we could control. You can't control time, you can't control the environment per se with everything, but you can control that input, that effort, that work ethic. Like Tristan said, our time is valuable. Your time is more valuable. We appreciate you sharing our space.
Sam, all time, dude. We're all on the clock.
We have a few questions left before we let you go. The first one I want to ask you is if you had three of your best friends sitting at this table, these three people that know you better than most people, and you're not here, what would those three people say about you?
Wow. What would I want them to say, or what might they say?
What might they say?
I don't know. I think you'd want them to. I think what I would hope they would say is that I reach out to my close friends. Like, I send them funny stuff. I do stuff. I include them. I host little parties, little get-togethers. You know, swing by for a drink, swing by for a meal. Let's go to this. Let's go to that. I think they say I was inclusive. I was generous. I try to keep it fun. You know, funny is subjective. I just had a very good friend tell me the other day, in no uncertain terms, that he goes, what you have to understand is that you are not funny. And I go, what's funny is that you actually believe that. So, and we went back and forth. I said, I'm unfollowing you now. And I did. And someone else, my wife, said, how could you do that? I said, because I did. I told him I was going. She goes, that's so harsh. I said, yeah, but babe, this is a big boy world. You can't. And then when he wrote me back a couple of days later, I go, beg me to follow you. And he goes, I will not. And I go, beg me to follow you or I'm off this text. He goes, please follow me. I said, done. Followed him back. I love that kind of stuff. So fun, that's subjective. Funny, that's subjective. You want him to say that you were inclusive, kind, generous, you know, that I worked hard and that I put a lot into my kids.
Thank you for sharing that. That was awesome.
Two more personality questions. The first one.
Now, and then I'm an asshole.
There you go.
Three.
Get that back in the
category. Now, Gunnar, back to your childhood. Now, the posters on your wall as a childhood, who were they?
Wow, really? Okay. I had Willis Reed.
Okay.
The
ball player.
Played for the Knicks. Yep. I had a couple of motorcycle posters. Guys jumping dirt bikes. I was raised, we had dirt bikes. And when I was in Texas and we were in Saudi Arabia when I grew up. And
have you got a bike now?
I think I had Floyd Little, the running back for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I had Steve Jurgensen, the quarterback of the Redskins. And I had a big bikini picture of Raquel Welch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Rocky.
Yeah.
Now this
throwback.
Is
throwback. Google that. Don't know.
I
think people are right now.
For sure. And then the last one, Gunnar Peterson, you're having a private dinner party. You get to invite five people. Now, the rule is they can't be any friends or family, but they could be anyone who's dead or alive. Who is Gunnar Pedersen inviting to dinner?
First person I'm inviting is my wife, and fuck your rule. I'm always inviting my wife to dinner.
Gotcha.
That's number one. Number two, I think you'd have to invite Jesus just to clear up so many things. That just would be interesting, I think.
I think it would open up a lot of things.
I think today, in today's world, I think you have to invite Donald Trump just because there's so many questions I got to know, man. I would invite – who else? Wow, that's – I wish you'd warned me this. I would have given this some thought. I'd invite I can't be a friend. Can't be somebody I know. Mm. I know too many people. I've been around too long. I'd invite – you know what? That's a good call. Kaylee, help me out here. I'd invite Jack LaLanne.
There you go.
Godfather of Fitness.
Yeah, yep.
It'd be perfect to have him in there. Ask him the stuff you just asked me. Guarantee you he doesn't put himself in the asshole category, for sure. How many am I at four?
Yo, one more, my man.
You lost one.
I probably put you guys on a joint card, like you on a like Tristan on a plus one or you on a plus one, so that I had you guys there to witness what I put together.
We appreciate you. You're the second guest out of over 100 that included us, so we appreciate you.
Stitch. Last one was Stitch Duran.
Yeah,
the famous cut guy.
Stitch, who was in the movie with Stallone. Yeah, the corner guy.
Yeah.
Good dude.
Big Stitch. All right, Gunnar, just before we let you leave, where can the people find you both online and on social media?
GunnarPedersen.com, GUNNAR. That's my website. I don't sell stuff off there. I'm sorry. I'm really got to get this together. And social media, I'm at Gunnar on Twitter, and I'm at Gunnar Fitness on Instagram.
Awesome. Well, awesome, Gunnar, man. We really appreciate your time. It's been a great chat. Somewhere in Beverly Hills, we'll have to stop by and say hello.
Yeah. Please do it. You'll have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I spent 7 years in the border of Long Beach and Huntington Beach, so we go there quite often. Next time we're in town, man, we'll hit you up.
I would love it. We'd love to have you come to the gym, get a workout, or just chop it up. It'd be fun.
Awesome, Gunnar Pedersen, man. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Gunnar. You guys have a great weekend, too.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Awesome.
We'll chat soon.
What a character, man. This guy definitely is not one of these cookie-cutter coaches, which I could definitely relate to. You know, he's not one of these guys to say, hey, here's one program, this fits for me, it'll fit for all.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will get a lot out of that. It's a bit of a different thing. Like, he's got his own personality. He is just who he is, you know what I mean? He's not trying to pretend to be someone else. He's Gunnar Pedersen. He's created this brand. And like we spoke about in the actual show, there's a path to success, and he's big in, like, even, you know, some of these movie stars that he's done as well, you know, they had their path to success just as he has.
They say we're a reflection of the people we surround ourselves most around, and you could tell he coaches celebrities.
Well, you can tell,
like, when you're listening to him, how he speaks. I love the story he gave about the drill sergeant coach, how he said, you know, I go up to this young guy, and I'm like, look, you're going to kill your client. Your client wants, you know, they need to have fun. And the client goes, success just be breeds, a comedian. Yeah. Take a comedian class, a stand-up class.
Success breeds success. Discipline breeds discipline. Just look like Jay DeFranco with Triple H and Stephanie, the rub-off that they've had on him, like he's had on Cameron. Like, there's some huge thing about surrounding yourself with good people, and Gunnar's done that to perfection.
Yeah, totally agree. And, like, with Joe D, for instance, the guys who come to mind that he's taken to the next level, or, you know, he surrounds himself with, Triple H, wrestler. Think of that mindset he has. Brian Cushing, NFL player, pro athlete. Think of the mindset he has. And now look at Joe's delivery.
Yeah.
They're kind of similar. So now you get a Gunnar Pedersen, and then you get, like, characters like Stallone. You get the Kardashians. And intertwined through all of that meshing and hours spent coaching those clients, it's going to wear off on you.
Oh, hell yeah.
So you can see, if you just hang with Gunnar, you know this dude probably lives in L.A., and, you know, he's probably doing good things.
Definitely. So, guys, we hope you enjoy that. We'll go into more depth about Gunnar Pedersen. And also stay tuned for our next one. We're going to delve into a new genre. We got DJ Tiger Lily coming on. She's a famous Australian DJ doing great things on the local and international scene. So I'm really excited to get her on.
We're excited to bring Tiger Lily on to share some insight on that, you know, the behind-the-scenes life of what it's like to be a touring young lady in the DJ world.
Definitely. So, guys, stay tuned. Remember to subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. And please leave us a 5-star review.
Other than that, guys, you know what to do.
And also, follow us on
Snappy, Twitter, Insta, Facey, all socials. Johnny Stofko, Tristan Cannell. Support the movement. Subscribe to the show.
We enjoy your support, and we will have another great episode soon.
Yeah, guys, we appreciate you.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching a niche, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.